You are about to enjoy a presentation recorded at the 2023 Michigan Conference Camp Meeting held at Cedar Lake, Michigan. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Lord, we are thankful for Patsy and for her willingness to share her talents with us, Lord, and the ideas that she's come up with, the tips that we have for keeping our houses organized, be able to keep them clean and tidy. Lord, be able to wade through our stuff so that we can actually live a happy life. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless today as we go through today's topic. And as we answer these questions, Lord, may you be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So you want to read the question and I'll read the answer.
Okay. So how can I help my friend?
All right. So someone is really heartfelt about how their friend's home looks, okay? So the best way, the best way to encourage someone to clean is not to say anything at all. Okay, simply lead by example. Generally, someone who keeps a messy place is not doing it because they want to get on your nerves. It doesn't mean they don't care about you. It doesn't mean that they just want you to be miserable because of their mess. But it is very important that you do not view a messy person, a messy place, and it's you got to divide it from the person. There's many things going on in their life, and it's the house that's a reflection of their heart, their pain, their whatever it is, the challenge that they're going through. And they need your love and not your criticism. Just remember, if they're a single parent, listen carefully, they may not have time to wash dishes because they've got to change diapers. You see what I mean? Walk in their shoes for a day and you might understand why the way their house looks is the way it is. Don't point fingers. Offer to help. Why not? If you see a mother with a crying baby in church, you offer to help. You don't go in the back room and criticize the babies. We want the babies.
Amen.
We love the babies.
Amen.
We love the kids. They're the next year, the next generation. Protect their dignity. Try to divide the mess from the man. Protect their dignity. Focus on the things such as, and this is something you can think about, your fire safety. Talk about safety to them. Or emergency access, should it be difficult to get through their house. Be gentle. You can't force someone to change. Now, if you're a super, super, I mean super, super wonderful, good friend, and you have $1 million in your pocket, mm-hmm. All right, I prefaced it all, then you can walk in and lightly say, wow, your place is a mess. Come on, I'll help you. And if they're in the right mood and you've caught them in the right attitude, they might say, oh, thank you. I can use all the help I can get. But those are very rare occasions. So be careful. Be sensitive. All right. Let's go to the next question.
Okay. So this one, you know, we're both pastors' wives. We've been there, right? What do I do with the stuff that church members put in the church kitchen?
Oh boy.
Have mercy.
We might be that person, or we might have been the receiver of those kind of things that walk through the church door that they're donating to the church. So at our church, people leave things at our church too. And they leave off dishcloths that are worn out and they might have some holes in them and they don't want to throw them away. When we're keepers and savers and we're not throwers, we got to do it with something. And so we give God our leftovers through the church doors. What would you do if something like that landed in your church kitchen?
Oh, man. Well, it's a good thing I don't have any church members here, but I have former church members here, and I'm sure they're listening going, what would she do?
Oh, now that she...
I know. You know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to burn it. You're right, girl. It's going in the trash because we want to keep what's good and what's best, right? And I understand. I get it. Some people have a really hard time parting with stuff, and if they feel like they gave it away, then they didn't throw it away so it can relieve their conscience. And you know what? My conscience is clear. I can sleep good at night knowing I threw the holy dishcloth away. So it works for me, and it works for you. If you need to do that because it bothers you to throw it away, you can go ahead and let me throw it away. I'm happy to do that for you.
And you know, our community service center, when they want your stuff, they go like new.
That's right.
Remember that. When you have stuff in your house and you go, oh, I'll just take that to the church and drop it off. Remember the rule, like new. It doesn't mean it needs to be brand new,
right?
But like new, and then you bring it and everybody just with open arms, sure, we'll throw our old ones away and we'll put yours in its place. What about dishes that show up? You know, dishes and Tupperware, and you know, we're all going with this see-through look and all the old Tupperware is all, you know, what do you do? What do you do with stuff that come, dishes that maybe they're even impractical? You know, they got them as a gift and they don't want to throw them away. What do you do with those kind of dishes that walk through the church doors?
Well, you know, don't you kind of feel like, you know, some of them are possibly good and could be used for something. It's just not applicable for the church setting or something like that, right? Stuff comes in that is good.
Yes.
That maybe somebody could use. And so sometimes what we'll do, or we have extra, like you only need so many pans of something, right?
Right.
So if we get extra, we want to be generous and share what we have with those around us. So sometimes we'll make a Goodwill run, or we can take those things to
Salvation Army,
whatever. Somebody else who could benefit from that object, sometimes we'll give those things away. Or sometimes there's people in our church family that are just starting out, and there's a young bride who'd be happy to have another 9x13 pan.
Yes.
However, I will say that sometimes those things accidentally got left by the pastor's wife, and she didn't realize that she didn't pick up her dish after potluck. And so I have the sweet deaconess lady that says, honey, would this happen to be your 9x13 pan? And I can say, well, actually that does look strangely familiar. And I can take my whole stack of dishes that I've last for the last 3 months home, and now I have 9x13 pans again that I was always wondering what happened to.
I tell you. You know, another thing, you know, you talked about the stuff that hang around and other people's stuff. All right, we have a 6 month and out rule.
I think that's fair.
If you leave your stuff at the potluck and it sits on that counter for up to 6 months, sometimes 3 months, I tell you what, it's going somewhere else. It's just not going to hang around. We need the space to cook and bake and make our kitchen look nice and clean. The other thing is, I think it's really important not to throw things away or to take things away during the week when everybody's there. Maybe the person that gave it to you is there. Do it during the week, my dear friend, my dear deaconess. Do it during the week. Silently take it out. Don't gossip about it. Just do it. And just make a plan to get rid of it. When the least amount of people are at church, and you want to clean it up and organize it and make it look beautiful, do it with smaller amount of people there.
You know, have you ever noticed the little sour cream containers and the cottage cheese containers? Okay, but you know, those have a purpose.
Yes, they do.
So we may be laughing about it, but I will say this. We don't have a purpose for 100 of them.
Right.
So the purpose of them is to be able to give people, we have elderly families, single families, busy moms, and some of us are happy to share our leftover dish with
yes.
a family who may be able to use it. I'm grateful. I have a whole big family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's this tiny little corner or something, guess what? It's not going real far. I have to make
yes.
a whole meal anyway. So if I have a friend who I know eats all by themselves, I'll be, hey, you want to take this home? So those little sour cream containers come in really handy.
Yes, they
but
do.
But one of the things that is important is that they have a lid that goes with them. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, the lids. You know, if there's no lids, then you can throw it away. You can.
Yep, that's right. So you can kind of count, make sure you keep your 20 or whatever's in there. But you don't, when you open the cupboard door and it's an avalanche,
throw,
you know. It's okay to recycle some of those. And I'm a firm recycler. I really am. So maybe that's how I pacify throwing some stuff away. If I can recycle it, I do, because then it's not going to the landfill and all these things, and my conscience feels good, and
mm-hmm.
I can recycle it and go on.
We have one cupboard for those leftover little containers, and when it's full, everything else hits the garbage It goes out. When it goes down, there's always more coming in. I mean, everybody's bringing them in. And when that cupboard's full, they go out. But
it's
we
perfect.
Accept everything. We don't turn it away. We let people bring it in because they're doing it from a heart thing. But when we do our cleanup at a potluck Sabbath and there's too many of those, we throw them away. The garbage can is filled with some of those some Sabbaths. So, excellent. All right, we got one more to go. And what is that?
You know, this one's a hard one. What if you lost a loved one and you inherited all their stuff?
Losing a loved one is difficult just in and of itself.
It is. You have all those memories attached to everything.
Yes. But being the receiver of their treasured belongings compounds the problem of where to store it, maybe because you already have a house full of your own stuff. And so what I would like to encourage you to do is invite other family members over and just sit around and reminisce, and you take this piece and I'll take that piece, you take this piece of furniture, I'll take that piece of furniture. And before long, a lot of the things that would have cluttered up your home have grown two legs and walked off. And they're happy that they were able to lighten your load. The other thing that you can do, what is left over after they've been there, you go through it. If it's not important to you, then it goes into storage. After a passing of time that you have grieved over that, then you might be able to let go of that piece. You know, give yourself a little while. Memories are very special when it comes to the death of a loved one. And go through it again. Either give it away or purge it more by getting rid of it. What is left, you could sell or discard. Remember, you still have the what?
Memories.
Memories.
Yep, they're still yours.
So that's it for today. Thanks for the questions. Thanks,
good
Amy.
Questions.
This is
You're
great.
Welcome.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed those questions? Have they touched your hearts today? It's fun to hear other people's thoughts and how this seminar is affecting their lives. Well, I have good news. We have a mother-daughter duo who's going to, in 10 minutes, give us 3 tips to improve our organization, our cluttering, our purging, and spending less when it comes to living life. Celestiana, Rochelle, come on. Let us know what you're thinking.
Good afternoon. I was blessed to be able to grow up in a family that were clean freaks. And I mean clean freaks on both sides. My mother's family, my father's family, I really didn't have a choice but to be a clean, organized person. And I will tell you the depths of their cleanliness. My aunt, on my mother's side, every year she washes down every wall in her home. She washes every window. She washes every closet, takes everything out. She's 91 years old. I talked with her this morning, and she can't do it all herself anymore, but she gets someone still to move out her stove and refrigerator every year for her. So she's happy, and they know that. On my dad's side, my aunt, that when I was a young child, I absolutely loved to go to her house because you would open the drawers and everything was just organized in such a way, and I thought, I want to be like that. But she had surgery, and I decided to go over and help her with her cleaning because she couldn't do anything. And so I had her sit right in the room with me, and I did everything the way she wanted it done. And when I finished one room, I asked her, I said, now what do you want to do with the carpet? After I had vacuumed it and had already gotten the dusting and everything done, she says, no, no. And I said, no, really, I want to do it just how you do it. She has a little scrub brush about this big, and on my hands and knees, I had to brush all the carpet one direction as I made my way out of the room. You know, and I told her later, I said, you know what, that's a bit much. That's a bit much. And I think that if you bought a really good stiff broom, you could have the same effect with that broom. So she did. She transferred over to a broom, thankfully. Oh, and I used to be a little extreme myself. When I first got married, I just wanted to be the ideal housekeeper. And my poor husband, he was young and naive and willing, but he would flush the toilet with a tissue so that he wouldn't leave a fingerprint on the handle. I know, I'm better now. Oh, but anyway, so I'm thankful I've balanced out a little more. I still love a clean, organized home. And I've got some tips today that hopefully will be helpful to you. Right now, my daughter Rochelle is going to show us how to fold a fitted sheet. And she did this for her high school, speech?
Yeah, did you all have the how-to speech in high school? Here at GLA, this was my how-to speech, how to fold a fitted sheet.
How many of you know how to fold a fitted sheet? All right. You know how I learned? I learned because my mother, she was a clean, organized person, but she could never master folding a fitted sheet. So, of course, you take those four corners and turn them inside of each other. But, you know, the secret for me are the seams. Make sure those seams are all on top of each other when you fold them inside of each other. And this is a queen size sheet. And the one thing, can we give her a hand for that? Great job, Rochelle.
I see there's a lot of people that want to see this all over again. Okay. Mess it up.
All right, see those? See the inside? It's inside out at this point. And so fold one over the other. Rochelle, someone is videoing you there, so if you want to point to her. Yes, all right. The flat sheet. And it's really a lot of shaking so that it kind of smooths it out. And there you are.
My mom taught me how to do this. But she also taught me with the flat sheet. If you hold it up lengthwise and fold it in half that way, then down and around, so it's the same size as this, it comes super in handy when I'm making the beds because that middle crease goes right in the center of the bed. So, you know, especially if you're doing it by yourself, it's hard to determine, oh, is there too much on this side, not enough on this side? You can just follow that middle crease.
You do have a perfect one right down the center of that bed. I like when I put my linens away to have all the folds pointing out. I feel like it makes everything stack more neatly when they are folded like that. I feel the same way about the towels. I like to see this side on the outside. So when I open my linen closet, it all looks neat. Same with your pillowcases. And then, you know, your other linens.
And just putting your pillowcases away in pairs if you have a full or a queen bed. Yes. Saves time digging out your clean sheets.
So some of the tips that I like to do, Patsy asked for three tips that help keep us organized. And I'll tell you, one of my very best friends is the Norwex Dust Mitt. And I'm sure several of you are familiar with this. I don't sell Norwex or anything like that, but this has microfiber on steroids. So it really grabs the dust, and it has silver in it, so it's antibacterial as well. And that has cut my dusting time in half. And I love this mitt. And they have them for children. So it's a great way to introduce dusting to your children, to get them involved in the cleaning. And it really makes dusting go by very quickly. Norwex Dust Mitt.
Thank you.
Sorry? I couldn't hear.
No, they don't sell them at the Dollar Tree.
No. No, they don't.
Did you ask the spelling? I think it's N-O-R-W-E-X.
Yes. Any of you that know Joyce Gayton, you can get them through her. And you can see me afterwards and I can give you her number. Another big, huge friend of mine, and again, I don't sell this product or anything, but it's the Young Living Thieves. And I'm a green cleaner. I use one capful of this in 16 ounces of water, and I clean everything with this. It's called Norwex Thieves. Sorry? I'm sorry. Thank you. Young Living. I just take an old, completely cotton t-shirt of my husband's that he's worn out or it's gotten discolored, and I go through my whole house with this bottle and this. I clean my mirrors, my windows, my appliances, my countertops, my sinks, my toilets. Even your floors you can clean with this, and it doesn't leave streaks. It has a nice scent. And it's just made my life of cleaning so much faster and more fun. I work Mondays and Tuesdays at the conference office. And so I start my Sabbath cleaning on Wednesdays. And I don't like to clean my entire house in one day. It's too overwhelming for me. So I like to break it up into segments. So Wednesdays are my dusting day, and I clean my bathroom, and I clean my kitchen. And by cleaning my kitchen, that means I do all the appliances. I go through my house like once a week, but I like to just take everything off of the kitchen counters, clean the things that are on the counters, and that's kind of my Wednesday routine with a load of laundry. And I kind of time myself, and I usually can do it in about 2 hours, and then I have the afternoons for other things that I may need to do. On Thursdays, I like to mop the floors, do the vacuuming, and I'd like to start my Sabbath cooking. On Fridays, I change all the beds, wash the linens, wash towels, finish up any other last-minute Sabbath preparations, cooking, whatever. I like to set the table for Sabbath. And I'll tell you that the last thing I do on Sabbath, because, you know, my Aunt Judy was a good example to me, I brush all my carpet up. So it leaves no vacuum. Sorry? Did someone say something? Okay. And then on Sundays, I might do a load of laundry. I used to do laundry all in one day, but not anymore. I just do a load here as needed. And then I prepare food for our lunches during the week so that we have food, because it's too hard to cook during the week. So I usually make a big pot of something on Sunday, and my husband doesn't mind leftovers, thankfully.
My schedule varies every week. I work maybe 4 days 1 week, one day the next week, different days. It's varied. So for me to stick to a cleaning schedule like my mom does, I can't do that. So
Some weeks my house is not as clean as other weeks. But I find for our house, and I still have kids at home and two dogs at home, and if I just at the end of every day can have everything back in its place and everything is cleaned up, not deep cleaned, but clutter-free, that helps the most at the end of the week, feeling prepared for Sabbath or whatnot. And I just, even when my kids were really little, as long as everything had a home, everyone knew where to put it back, and where it belonged. So, yeah, that's been our biggest goal, if you can't stay strict on your days.
Rochelle's an OR nurse, and so she works PRN, and so, but her house always looks clean. It always does. Even if she
can't. It might not always be clean, but it looks clean. Yes, I had the best teacher.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, you know, I think the most important thing to me has always been to have my home look its best for my family. I had a little guy come to my house one day and with his mom, and he said, "Your house is so clean. Are you having company?" And I said, "No." And his mom said, "That's the only time we clean is when we're having company." And I thought, oh, I want my family to enjoy the benefits more than other people do. And, you know, we're willing to clean for other people. I think we should be that much more willing to clean for our own families and make our homes the very best for them, because they're the most important people.
Even my little dogs appreciate things being decluttered and clean. My sister and I both have little baskets off in the corner, and that's where at the end of the day all the little dog toys go in the basket, and every morning the dogs have a ball going, looking for their toys, knowing right where they are in that basket, dragging them all out. Even the dogs know.
Yes. Oh. I set a goal each day for my schedule and what I want to accomplish that day, and you know, the thing that we have to remember is making a bed only takes 1 to 2 minutes. But your whole room is clean when you make your bed. It's not that hard. And the example, if we have children, if they see that we don't make our bed, why should they have to make their bed? And so I think it's a real good habit to get into. Also, let's see. To my next sheet here. I told you already about my weekly schedule. Don't procrastinate. That is one of my biggest things. If there's a dish that you don't feel like doing or you don't want to do the dishes, it takes a lot longer to have to go back and do something than to do it right on the spot. For me, knowing I have to face something is, I just dread that. And so I'd much rather clean that last pot, you know, and also the same with, like, if you've been traveling, unpack your suitcase. It doesn't take that long to put away the stuff in your suitcase. When you get your mail, go through your mail, process it right then. Otherwise, it just builds it up into an overwhelming mess. Today, I timed myself to see, or my husband timed me to see how long it took to take off my shirt and hang it up. It took about 13 seconds. 13 seconds. And I think of, I have been to homes where they have a week's worth of clothes on the floor. And of course, the bigger the pile gets, the less motivated you are to take care of it. So I just, it doesn't take long. I'm kind of time conscious all the time. And so I find myself timing, you know, the kitchen, 10 to 15 minutes it might take. Shining up my sink, like every day I will go through and I will just use my little cleaner, and I have a long double vanity. I timed it 2 minutes. 2 minutes is all it takes to have a nice clean countertop and sinks that you don't ever have to feel embarrassed, whether your family sees it or unexpected guests come, or anyone else, you can always feel that your home is sparkling clean.
I think it helps fight the procrastination if you can do something enjoyable while you're cleaning. Listen to something on the radio or a podcast. My mom is the expert at talking on the phone while she cleans. I can be talking to her on the phone, and then she'll say, oh, she got this done and this done and this done. What'd you get done? I sat down on the couch. I can't talk on the phone while I'm cleaning, so she's getting a lot done, and I'm like, I gotta hang up because I'm doing nothing. But I like to put music on, and it helps energize me and make it less of a tedious task.
So to summarize here, I have a couple of quotes that I find are so powerful. And one of them is from Adventist Home, and it says, "The secret of saving your children lies in making your home lovely and attractive. Indulgence in parents will not bind the children to God nor to home, but a firm, godly influence to properly train and educate the mind would save many children from ruin." Then from Child Guidance, page 114, "The home must be kept pure and clean. Unclean, neglected corners in the house will tend to make impure, neglected corners in the soul. Mothers, you are the educators of your children, and you can do a great deal if you begin early to inculcate pure thoughts by fitting up their rooms in a cleanly, tasteful, attractive manner." And I do believe in involving our children in our work, in chores, in giving them little jobs that are appropriate for their age. And I started very young myself with my children. I was taught very young. And, you know, they end up being such a blessing. When my kids left home, it was a lot more work to keep my house up because they were such a big help to me. So I want to inspire you to love your home, not as an idol, but as a place that your family will love to be because it's clean and sparkling and warm and cozy. God wants the home to be the happiest place on earth with the very symbol of the home in heaven. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Celestiana and Rochelle. Wasn't that great? It gives us, every time you get a different perspective on it, it gives you motivation to go home and do something about your own house and do something better that makes it sound wonderful. So it's really wonderful. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have again to gather together and just speak about how much you love to see cleanliness and how it is that you accept us the way that we are, but you also want to see us grow in you. So bless us now. Send the Holy Spirit into our midst, and may we, Lord, be blessed from the things that we learned today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is a big misconception out there in our world today, and if somebody has a messy house, automatically the world wants us to think they have a messy mind. Therefore, they cannot keep a clean home. And I would like to shoot that misconception and move it out of the way. I say that is not true. It means that someone is struggling. There's a cry for help. And instead of looking down on people, we need to look at them in the love that Jesus would have if he was here on earth. And when we say, "May I help you?" In a kind way, we have to be very kind. That means we're entering into their space with compassion. We are entering in their space with some gentle skill building. It's important that we don't just go and gut their home and make it like we think it ought to be. We go and we take them with us every step of the way and build skills gently into their hearts and into their minds so that when you can't be there every moment of every day, they've got something to work on. This is not a journey of worthiness. We are already worthy. Jesus died on the cross to save us. And so we are already worthy. It is a journey of care. It is not a journey to destroy. Even when you are struggling, find small ways to begin to take care of yourself and your home that feels two things, sustainable and not forced. Remember, if something is forced, it will only last a short time. And what we want is we want something sustainable over the long haul. Something that will take, just as we heard, day by day, month by month, year by year, to keep a clean, tidy, and organized home. I'm going to talk a little bit about self-denial today. When you think about spent, the driving obsession, you know there's been some overspending. And when we talk about self-denial, it's another way of not giving to ourself, but giving to others through self-denial. The more we deny ourselves, the less we will actually start to desire. You see, there's a stronghold in our life today of hoarding and disorganization. And it's a result of an obsessive use of material possessions. We live in the United States where there's a Walmart on every corner. I'm not saying you guys shop at Walmart, but you know what I mean. There is stuff marts everywhere, and there is always a place to stop and shop. There is Amazon.com. There is all kind of ways to order and receive, to spend, and it is very, very tempting to, instead of using self-denial, become selfish in our way of living. Less is more. And God's Spirit is compelling us to have a life-transforming change through His power, and it gives back everything that we have so generously gotten rid of, and we become filled with peace and joy and happiness and the mercy that God wants us to have. It is so important that we become not grabbers and hoarders, but we can become givers and blessings to others. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 24, an amazing Bible verse that talks about denial. And it goes like this, and if you'll read it with me, it'll really go deep into your heart. So let's read it together. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And you know, when we make a decision to do that, God is right there beside us to help us every step of the way to cling to His cross instead of clinging to our stuff. There's another verse of scripture that I have used in my life when I deal with temptation. It's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It's an amazing verse. It's one that you would do well to memorize and take it with you every single day of the week. But it's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Please read it with me. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will provide a way of escape. So when you think of overspending, you think of anything that has to do with hoarding, it's a stronghold. And that's what the Bible calls it, breaking down of strongholds in our life so that we don't have any wedges between us and our relationship with Jesus. And when we have a stronghold of overspending and of hoarding things in our homes, stuffing things, storing things, and it gets into our living space, there is an individual way to every one of us that God gives us a way of escape. So I was in my house, and I looked out my window, and I saw a cardinal, a beautiful red cardinal. And I looked at it and I thought, nature is God's second lesson book. What would God be trying to teach me? And I was looking for a way of escape because Something had built up in my shelving that I need to declutter. And I looked at that bird and I thought to myself, that bird has a beautiful, tidy, clean, organized nest that he goes to every day. He goes away and he comes back. He goes away and he comes back. And I said, you know what? God is trying to teach me a lesson through the cardinal. He wants me to have a clean, organized shelf in my hallway. Do you know what I did? I was a cardinal. I went and I straightened that shelf out. I felt that that was something special to me from God, a little bit of nature to teach a lesson to me about organization. So here's another example as a way of escape. I go shopping and I see something I want. In fact, I see many things that I want. And I feel the magnetic pull of a good sale. I talk myself into yet an unnecessary shopping spree. And I pile all my purchases, not in an itty-bitty shopping cart like they have now, but one of those big ones. And I push my cart up to the checkout. And I go into my purse for my debit card, only to remember that I had loaned the card to one of my children. Oh, well, I reach for the other credit card, only to remember that I had left it on the dresser that morning. Not to be discouraged, I pulled out my phone. I'll use my app, only to know that my battery had died. As a last-ditch effort, I opened up my purse and got my wallet out and discovered there was only a few dollars in cash. Way of escape. God was giving me a way of escape. Instead of getting angry and stomping out and calling my husband and asking him to come and bring his credit card, or you know how it goes, trying to find money somewhere, run to an ATM machine or go to my bank so I can buy all that stuff, I decided that God was trying to make a way of escape. And I said, thank you, Lord. I don't need all those things anyway. They were just things that I wanted, but I don't need. And it dawned on me that this way of escape had happened many times over. But instead of getting angry at myself, I would get angry at God for not helping me to remember all those ways that I could have paid for what I was just going to overshop for. Did you know that a relationship with God is better than a buying binge? It's really true. Our relationship with God and the peace that it brings is better than going to a garage sale or going to a sale at some store and buying up the stuff. All right, I have a video to show you. I call it Man in the Garage. This man gave up his golfing because his wife on the honey-do list, she said, please clean the garage while I've gone shopping. So we're going to take a look at this man, video, Man in a Garage. Did we show it to you yesterday? No, no, no. You guys saw it because you were sitting on the front row, and you want to see it again, don't you? And my husband is working on it. Here he is. Did everyone see it? Sorry about the noise. They can't lower it. How many of that was your first time you saw that? Come on. Oh, wow. You guys that saw it yesterday, thank you for seeing it again. There's a lot. Yeah, I tell you, I like your attitude. You know, it's a great way to see that even though you clean and you organize, things may not always go as planned when the job is all done. But you know, our God can provide everything we need for true happiness. And it's up to us to let Him do that, gifting us with true happiness by letting go of the things that we find that we need to leave behind. So I want to talk a little bit about kids. Celestiana talked a little bit about her children. One thing that when you are a mother, you realize you can't do mothering with a great deal of wisdom without spending time with the God of wisdom. And every morning it's so important as parents that we spend time in the Bible, in prayer, because we want to be able to pass that legacy on to our children so that they will want to be clean and tidy in the home. And having soft hearts in their little heart, in their little bodies, makes it easier in their little minds to be teachable. And so we need to teach our children, and one of the ways we do it is lead by example. So we had two girls when we were married and raising a family. One of them is sitting right here. Her name is Melanie, my youngest. So happy that they came. Melanie, stand up so people can see. Not everybody. This is our youngest daughter. She's going to be sharing her three top tips tomorrow, so I'm excited to hear what she has to say. But when our kids were 3 to 4, and you know, the older you get, you think it's, no, but I think it's 3 to 4, we taught them how to make their beds. And we taught them how to put away their toys and to have we had a place for the toys, different boxes that they put their toys away. And one thing that I taught them, being the mother, my husband was gone, you know, doing his work, I taught them to wash the dishes. Kids love playing in water. I mean, come on, let's utilize it. So what if the kitchen floor is half wet when they're done? The dishes are clean and they're in the drainer and their little hands are all clean. And I wipe up the floor and then, you know, the kitchen floor is clean too. But let us, all the little things they love to do, put those to work in the responsibilities that we have around the home. One thing I did when the children were little, when they finish one set of toys, they get put away before the next set of toys come out. And that way, when they're all done playing, there is no toys anywhere for you to have to put away, because immediately when they run out of toys in the house, they're outside. I mean, they are so fast that you didn't even know they went out. And if they have been in their room messing up their rooms with toys, and they'll run out and play, they'll spend more time outside if it's good weather, here you are left with a ton of toys to put away. Friend, utilize your kids. They do wonderful at putting toys away with each set of toys that they use. It's important to teach our children to keep their homes, to keep our homes clean. This is something I did when I began to clean the home. I would get a little basket, and they have done this with their grandchildren, so it obviously worked for them. They wanted to try it on their children. You get a basket out, and you get little pieces of paper, and you write on the little pieces of paper all the duties that you would like for them to do to help you clean the house. It could be, and I would say, dust the living room, or I would say, dust your bedroom. You know, I don't say dust the whole house. Oh, they'd be laying on the floor. You know, just give them a little bit at a time. And then also, there were little pieces of paper that says, call your friend. Spend 5 minutes playing with your Barbie dolls. Go outside and play for 5 minutes. And it was all mixed up in there together. And so, for 5 minutes, they dusted. And I went and I would check on it, because I wanted them to learn. I'm a teacher. They're in training, but they don't know it. And so, I would check, yes, the dusting got done. Okay, you can have another piece of paper. And by the time it was done, they were happy. In fact, they would say, Mom, could we have our can I have 5 minutes of fun at the same time? My sister is having the 5 minutes of fun, and we can have fun together, and then we'll come back. And I said, yeah, sure, you can have it. You know what I mean? I'm getting cooperation. I'm going to cooperate back. And by the time it was all said and done, they had finished all the chores that was in that little basket, and our home was ready for Sabbath. Of course, I was doing the heavier work that they couldn't do. And I started this at a very young age. And I didn't expect perfection until they got a little older. At 3 and 4, they were just stumbling over their feet and, you know, running the rag around. I didn't expect perfection. But as they got older, we began to expect perfection. And it got done in a wonderful way. And today, if you were to go to their homes, you would find clean homes. They made their beds from 3 to 4 years of age onward. When I was 10 years old, it was Valentine's Day, and the teacher asked us to write a Valentine to our mother and to put something on it that we would do for the rest of our life. So at 10 years old, I made a promise in my Valentine note to my mother that I would make my bed for the rest of my life. And I can honestly tell you, there's probably five times, maybe because I was ill or, you know, some other reason that I was not able to clean, to make my bed. But my mother still has her little finger in my life in that form of discipline, because I make my bed in honor of my mother. She's not with me anymore, but in my memory, she is. Praise the Lord. So I want to go to Philippians 4, verse 8. It's a really important verse when it comes to keeping our houses tidy, clean, organized, and taken care of. And it goes like this. And I'll read it to you. It looks like I jumped ahead. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I use that as a filter for cleaning my house. Whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy, all those words can use, be wonderfully, a wonderful set of filters to keep our homes neat and clean and to reflect the character of God. Did our computer go wacky on us? That man that did the garage blew everything apart. Okay, let's go to steps to avoid temptation. When I talk about temptation, I talk about the temptation to procrastinate, the temptation to let the mess sit and go do something else. It'll be there when I come back. When we know deep down in our hearts we're not going to enjoy the thing we're going to do because we know there's such a mess at home. So it's a temptation to let things go. And so number one, I get on my knees and I say, Jesus, I am sorry. I lay this sin before you. Is it a sin to leave our homes not reflecting the kingdom of heaven? That's the question that we need to pose for ourselves. Is it a sin to leave our homes not reflecting the kingdom of heaven? We wouldn't let our churches look like our homes, I hope, because we know God's house should be the cleanest house amongst us. And then after confessing, the devil's not going to give up on us. He is going to be on our back trying to tempt us to let our houses go undone. So we need to flee the temptations. Grocery shopping, maybe you should ask someone else to do your grocery shopping if you're an overspender. When you go into the grocery store and you want to fill up all your shelves with food, ask maybe your husband to do the grocery shopping. Do whatever it takes to become an underspender. Do whatever it takes to become an underspender so that you will use your money to the best of your knowledge. Okay, there's things that we need to stop doing that we can stop doing immediately, and this is them. Stop yourself before you drop a dirty dish in the sink. Now, it's okay for children, young children, because you've asked them, pick up your dish and take it to the sink. What you could take them one step farther and say, and put it in the dish, rinse it off and put it in the dishwasher. Then the job that you would have to do when you get done eating has already been done. But never drop a dirty dish in the sink if you have a dishwasher. If you don't have a dishwasher, go ahead and fill the sink with warm, soapy water. Rinse the dishes off on one side and put the dirty dishes in the dishwater. And immediately it will help you to naturally finish the process as soon as you get up. Stop before you drop a piece of clothing on the floor. It is so easy to drop clothing and jump in bed. I cleaned a house for a lady who she tried to prevent dropping her clothing on the floor, and her laundry basket was right by her bed. And I went to help her, and this is so true. You're not going to believe this, but the pile of dirty laundry was right next to the tub where she should have put it, the dirty laundry basket. So, friends, please do your best to put that laundry right into the basket. And when it fills up, of course, I like to put my whites in, and then I like to put my darks in, because I don't want my darks to turn my whites gray. Now, my oldest daughter was trying to save time, and she was putting the darks in with the gray. And I said, if you would like whites to be white, you need to separate them. So she started doing that, and she went and bought all new whites, because it bothered her after a while that there were still their grays, you know. So she kind of started over with the whites. But what I do is I wait until I have enough whites and enough darks, and then I do two loads. Or it's just because usually your outside clothes are a little darker than your underside clothes sometimes. But wait, and as soon as you get two loads at the max, do your laundry. Don't wait. I cleaned one house, and their whole laundry room was packed with dirty clothes. And there were clean clothes clean in the machine, but all around it was all dirty clothes. So don't wait until it becomes overwhelming. Stop before you leave a piece of clothing on the floor. Stop before you leave a pile of mail unsorted and deal with it immediately. And don't even let one piece of paper land on a countertop. It is like a magnet for other pieces of paper. Stop yourself from leaving leftover food on the kitchen stove for the next meal or the kitchen counter. I have cleaned homes where pots and pans had sit on the stove for quite a while, and the food was dried on them, and then I had to soak them to clean them. So it's better to take care of the leftovers right away. Dan and I like to pre-plate our food, put away the leftover food that's left over in the refrigerator, and when we get up from eating, there is no food to clean. It's all wonderfully, and we don't overeat either, because who wants to eat the food you've already put away? You know, it's just like a stopgap for me. So it's good to put that food away as quickly as possible. To just stop will make a difference. Do not let your feet rush into thinking you can do it later, because later, that's right. So that's what we need to do in order to have clean homes. Now, we send missionaries to Africa and to China, and they go over there and they go into these villages where pigs are running everywhere, in and out of homes. Families are filthy dirty because they have not learned the art of staying clean. And these missionaries take the time to learn the language to teach these people how to have clean homes. And when Christianity comes into their hearts, it changes their lives. But you come over here to the United States of America, where people go to church every week, and supposedly they have Jesus in their heart, and I believe they do, but their homes are not representative of the God that they worship. If we are going to send missionaries to Africa to clean up homes and to clean up hearts, certainly we've cleaned up hearts here in the United States. Let's clean up homes, and God will bless us for doing so. Victory is possible. Praise God. His mercy can help us, because today it is time to make a difference.
To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at MISDA.org/audio2023 or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcast.